Is there really a God composed of all love and true light? Welcome to The Truth Be Told, presented by Beloved of God Ministries, dedicated to revealing the true nature of God and the reliability of the Scriptures as the will of God to us and for us. Now, let's join our brother in Christ, Lawrence Penarello, for The Truth Be Told.
In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, He set forth certain spiritual laws for an orderly universe and to benefit all mankind. Among these laws is the great law of believing, whose major purpose is to make salvation available on the most basic plane. The truth be told, this law is defined in Matthew 21:22 as "what you believe, you will receive." In Matthew 21:22, "And in all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Every man has the ability to believe or not to believe. It applies to everyone, from the worst sinner to the greatest saint, from the unknown to the well-known. All people are affected by this law, positively or negatively. Although in the Greek, the same word translated believe is also translated faith, we must remember that according to Romans 12:3, when we accepted Jesus as our Lord, we received the measure or standard of faith. Now, we just need to continue to believe God's word. Many people are aware that fear is a part of this law. However, we want to focus on the positive side, because when it comes to God's word, believing it enlightens the heart and will lift up our souls. The word of God will lead us to the joyous living of those who know and believe the love God hath to us. Remember, the Thessalonians received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God that effectually works in them that believe. As sure as gravity, as certain as physics, this great law stands absolute, the mastery of which will transform our lives as the children of God. It functions at its peak and brings forth more abundantly when it is issued from a heart of love. Galatians 5, verse 6 tells us, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but faith, this is the spiritual ability to believe God to the nth degree like Jesus Christ did, which worketh or is energized in us by love." Love puts the booster cables on it. It adds the spiritual power. Now, let's confirm this law from the Scriptures as it's stated in Romans chapter 3, verse 27, where it says, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith," or believing. Let's see the effectual working of this great law in action in a wonderful record of healing and deliverance from Mark chapter 5. Jesus had just sailed over from the Gadarenes, where He delivered a man whose life had been terribly tormented and controlled by a great number of evil spirits. Despite this enormous miraculous event, the community asked Him to depart from their coasts. However, arriving on the other side, there was quite a crowd gathered to receive Him. And in verses 21 and 22, "And when Jesus passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto Him, and He was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw Him, he fell at His feet." This synagogue leader comes to Jesus and is obviously very distraught. The next verse tells us why. Verse 23, "And he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live." His little daughter is at the point of death. She's right on the edge. Her life is hanging by a thread, and it has come to the extreme. It's a last gasp effort for her life. Jairus has come to get Jesus to bring her back from the edge. Look at the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 24, "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." Jesus goes with him, but there's a huge crowd pressing on them from all sides. They're thronging him. With a crowd like this, more than likely the healthiest and the strongest would have gotten the closest to him. You know, a crowd often takes on its own dynamic, but verses 25 through 27, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment." The flow of blood could not be staunched. It says she suffered many things of many physicians. She tried every doctor, every specialist, sparing no expense for deliverance, but actually got worse. All of her resources were exhausted, yet she did not give up. 12 years have gone by, and she has not given up. Her needs exceeded the scope of nature. It surpassed scientific discovery and development and reached beyond the helping hands of human kindness. But there beats the heart of a loving God who gives to men and women the power to accomplish even the impossible. There's a heartbeat there for you. Beloved, if the everlasting arms of God can stretch beyond 12 years, can they not reach out to even you? Verse 27, "When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole." She heard about the promises of God Jesus expounded, the miracles Jesus had performed, and she wanted it for her life. And she found out that Jesus would be there, and she makes her move. It starts from her believing heart as she moves through the crowd, arms stretched out, fingers straining forward until the tips of her fingers brush the soft hem of his robe, and bam! Verse 29, "And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." She knew throughout her body. She felt the wholeness pulse through her body. Verse 30, "And Jesus, immediately knowing that virtue," the word virtue here is power, "had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes?" Oh boy. Verse 31, "And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" In the press, the crush of the crowd, many people must have been touching Jesus, but he's looking for a certain one to whom that virtue, that power had flowed out to. Jesus wanted to know, who is it? Verse 32, "And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth." I once heard a minister use this record to preach on stealing your healing. Beloved, you never have to steal anything from our God. Our Heavenly Father is so loving and generous to give you whatever you need. It's the thief who comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. It is the thief who comes to steal our health and prosperity. He will steal our very lives and attempt to destroy our witness to God's love and goodness. You just remain strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Believe, and ye shall receive. It says she came with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling is Old English. It just means with great awe and great respect. She was aware of the tremendous miracle that just took place in her body, just touching his clothes. Her thankful heart wanted to testify of God's great power, to exceed the scope of nature, to surpass scientific discovery and development, and reach beyond the helping hands of human kindness. Through the crowd of onlookers, amid the skeptics and the doubters, his power went out to the heart and life of a believing one and stopped the blood and halted the plague that had ravaged her body for 12 years. And Jairus, well, he's standing right next to Jesus. So do you think her words had any impact on his mind? Verse 34, and he, Jesus, said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. He calls her daughter because she's a daughter of Abraham, as Romans 4:11 distinguishes him as the father of all them that believe. This dear woman's health had been stolen before by the thief. Jesus wanted her certain that the power of God effectually works in them that believe. It was her believing faith that made her whole. And were the thief to come again, she doesn't have to run and find Jesus, find the garment that he wore. No, her believing faith effectually works anywhere, at any time, and it's the same for you or me. Do you believe Jesus' words? It will surely work in you. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. The scriptures do not declare to us the age of the woman or if she was married, but it does tell us that she had this affliction for 12 years. Imagine during that span of time, she would not be able to bear children, obviously, if she had a husband, how that would affect their relationship. I don't know, there's a lot of things to think about, but one thing I do know, wholeness goes beyond just the physical healing. I also know that our God is a requiter in full to them that diligently seek Him. He will surely restore to her all that the thief had stolen, and He will do that for you. What a hope has been laid up for us. Well, Jesus has some unfinished business to attend to. Remember, Jairus. Verse 35 and 36. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. The original text reads, Keep on believing. Why? The power of God is in the word of God believed, and it will effectually work in them that believe. As soon as Jesus heard the words of these certain ones, he jumped right in to the aid of Jairus. He did not wait for another word to be spoken. Just keep on believing. Deliverance is not dependent upon our eyes to see the healing or our physical improvement to confirm the healing. Once we have laid claim to the promise of God, given by His word, and come with a believing heart, God sets in motion everything necessary in the universe to address your need. Be not afraid. Keep on believing, for the power of God is in the word of God believed, and God is faithful.
We'll return to our message in just a moment. We're taking this opportunity to invite you to visit our website at www.myinternetchapel.org, where you can make a prayer request, pray, or just reflect upon the promises of God at the Garden of Answered Prayer. You can listen to sermons and teachings in the Good News Room, or explore our other services and features. The address again is www.myinternetchapel.org. Your comments and questions may be emailed to minister@bgm-usa.org, or you can write us at Beloved of God Ministries, Post Office Box 0894, Westerville, Ohio 43086. The beautiful hymns you're listening to are provided by Twin Sisters Productions from their 3-CD set, 102 Instrumental Hymns. A link to Twin Sisters is available through our website. If you've missed our contact information, it will be provided again at the close of this broadcast. Now for the conclusion of today's message, let's rejoin Lawrence Penarello.
While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid. Keep on believing." Jairus had to really control his thoughts. He could have lost sight of the power of God, maybe gotten negative and begun to blame Jesus for his daughter's death by stopping to help the woman with the infirmity. Or even blame the woman for the interruption and miss the blessing and the encouragement of God's power that delivered her. Boy, Satan did not let up in his attack, and Jesus never let up on the promises of God. Jesus is quick to encourage Jairus. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he did not allow a second for that fiery dart to settle in Jairus's mind. He gave him encouragement to defeat the fear and keep on believing. Remember Jesus's encouragement in John 14, verse 27, to "let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Proverbs 29 tells us, "The fear of man bringeth a snare." And Proverbs 3 says, "Be not afraid of sudden fear, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken." Well, Jesus certainly helped Jairus to keep on his feet and stand firmly on the promises of God. Then in verses 37 through 40, "And he," Jesus, "suffered or allowed no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, 'Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth.' And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel, and them that were with him," remember Peter, James, and John, "and entered in where the damsel was lying." In the East, there are professional wailers. You hire them to make a big sound of grief. That's why they could go from wailing and weeping to laughing to scorn. But they laughed themselves out of personally witnessing one of the greatest miraculous events of all time. Their skepticism and denial does not stop the word of God from coming to pass. It only stopped them from witnessing this tremendous miraculous event. Jesus wanted present only people who will believe. It's that important. Verses 41 through 43. And he, Jesus, took the damsel by the hand and saith unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it. And he commanded that something should be given her to eat. He charged them. That'll be $50 for a house call. No, that's not the meaning of it. He charged them means that he commanded them not to make known everything that went on in the room. Of course, obviously, once she walks out of the room, everyone's going to know she's not dead. But Jesus didn't want them to make known all the details. Why? Because the power of God is in the word of God believed. It effectually works in them that believe. It was not because he touched her hand. It's not in the phrase Talitha cumi or any other thing he may have done, but in the word of God believed. People get caught up in the process and put their believing faith in phrases or actions because they think that's the secret to the power of God. So they go around and they want to touch everyone or say certain phrases. Then, if we're not touched in a certain way, or a phrase is not said to us, we start to doubt the effectiveness of the ministry, and it builds doubt against the promises of God. Perhaps the greatest area in our failure to receive the blessings of healings from God is a traditional belief that God gives to men and women sickness in order to humble them. Beloved, if the goodness, love, forgiveness, and grace of God is not cause enough for humility before God, there is not an illness nor an affliction upon the face of the earth that can bring about humility to man. If God gave sickness, who could deliver? For even in Acts 10, verse 38 records how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The Word of God confirms sickness is oppression, and its source is the devil. It also informs us that the reason Jesus healed was for God was with him. If the devil gives sickness and God also gives sickness, then how can we know if our sickness came from God or from the devil? How can we know if we should seek deliverance from it, or, as some say, patiently bear it? Who knows which sicknesses come from God and which from the devil? Is our plight from the devil or a blessing from God? You see, every scripture I have read concerning sickness and disease indicates it's not a good thing. The Gospels inform us that both Jesus and his disciples were authorized and sent forth to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Jesus always did the will of him that sent him. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 discloses, Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing it is the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance? It is the goodness of God, not sickness, that leads and conducts men to repentance. God does not need evil to accomplish good, for God is good always. God does not heal us based on our goodness, but upon his own goodness and the goodness of his beloved Son. Similarly, the devil does not bring sickness and disease upon us because of our evil, but because he is evil. or else only the evil would be sick. How our hearts go out to the suffering and the infirm, to those who have not heard or heard enough to believe the glorious report. But we do find consolation in knowing that our Lord Jesus Christ has won the true and final victory, when for all of eternity, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, the Apostle John, Write, for these words are true and faithful. The Scriptures tell us we will receive back all the blessings God intended for us that our adversary has stolen, plus much more. But until that day, we will press forward with the Word of God to carry out our charge and commissioning. Go ye into all the world and preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Cast out devils, speak with new tongues, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen and amen. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. We are to receive the word, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God that effectually worketh also in you that believe.
Thank you for joining us today for The Truth Be Told, a listener-supported presentation of Beloved of God Ministries. To assist us in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, your contribution for our global mission can be made through our website at www.myinternetchapel.org or by writing to Beloved of God Ministries, Post Office Box 0894, Westerville, Ohio 43086. We'll talk again next week. Join us for The Truth Be Told.